Welcome to the O Woman Podcast, where we discuss, so many things about women's sexuality, bodies, thoughts, and lives. We'll talk about everything from our relationships, to our orgasms, to our children, and our ovaries. And we'll share outstanding experiences and ordinary ones. I'm Emma, and a big, open welcome to you. Thanks for joining me for the show today. This is episode 64 of the O Woman Podcast. And today I want to talk a little bit about one of our most famous body parts, the boob. So the breast, the chest, the mammary glands. Let's talk about those today. And yesterday I actually had a breast appointment because I mentioned in a previous episode, breast lumps and beyond, that I have a kind of fibroid thing in my boob, in my left boob. And I was like, hey, you know what? It's been a year. They didn't recommend that I go back in and get it checked out, but I had a funny feeling in my boob and I was like, I'm just going to do it. So I went and I got it checked out. Everything is still the same, normal, fine. It hasn't grown. It hasn't shrunk. Even if it had, considering what it is, it's not really a big deal. It can change based on hormone changes, birth control changes, getting pregnant or not. But I did an episode on this, and check it out, so you have a little bit more information about what could be going on with your boobs if you're having an abnormality. So I thought this was an appropriate episode to talk about today, give us a little bit more information about our boobs. So what do you use this for? Well, we know some things that you use the boobs for. And before I go any further, I want to mention that the website that I've posted, I think it's called embarrassingbodies.com, very bad name, but really cool photo gallery. And there's a photo gallery showing you normal vulva, which is really awesome because there's so much variation. You can have little labia, small labia, big labia, you can have all these things. Same thing with boobs. And so I'm going to put the link in the post that where this audio is embedded. So you can check that out. So you can say, oh man, there's so many types of boobs. Mine are also fantastic, just like theirs. So first of all, both men and women have tissues in their body for breasts, but women's boobs grow into boobs because estrogen. Now, men can get kind of man boobs, people would say, but it's different. They're shaped differently. It's more of just a fat thing as opposed to an estrogen-activated body part like ours. So when you go through puberty, or potentially if you've been drinking too much weird hormonal milk when you're younger, maybe you'll get, you start growing boobs. I've noticed a lot of girls younger now have really started to grow boobs, and I just wonder, sometimes women can go through puberty earlier if they're a little heavier because they have more fat on their body and estrogen, lives in fat. So that's something, but I just wanted to point that out. I think the average age of puberty was like maybe 16 100 years ago. And now it's very different. It's definitely dropped. I started my period when I was in seventh grade, and it seems like now I've been hearing a lot of stories of girls in fourth grade. So a very big difference, fourth and fifth anyway. So estrogen makes your boobs actually grow. And let's talk about now what's inside your boob. Each of them, you got two boobs, mostly. Most people have two, not everybody. You've got two boobs usually, and each of them has 15 to 20 like lobes, which are made up of these little lobules, like little tiny parts of the lobe. And at the end of these lobules are sacs that are for milk production. And they're not like big old pockets of sacs. They're not huge. They're just there, ready for if one day you decide to have a baby and make milk. Also inside your boob, there's a lot of connective tissue. There's fat. And there's this really cool thing called the Cooper's ligament, which I did not know about until the other day. And it helps suspend your boobs. Which is super cool. Okay, so let me explain. This Cooper's ligament runs through your boob, and it helps hold your boobs up so they're not as naturally as saggy when you're first going through puberty. As you get to be an older woman, they can start to sag. That's normal. That's gravity. That's life. But when your boobs first grow, they're not super duper saggy. Depending on if they're very large, they're going to hang lower because of weight. But if they're small, they're not going to. They're kind of just going to hang out where they are. But regardless of the size of your boobs, you still have these Cooper's ligaments that suspend your boob by running through your boob and attaching to your clavicle and your chest. which I think is super cool. So it's almost like you have like a built-in bra underneath your skin. Did you even know that? So cool. Now, another thing that helps kind of support your boob too is in bigger boobs, or as you get to be older and your boobs sag a little bit more, your lower boob might kind of lay against your upper chest, which some people think, oh, that means my boobs are saggy. No, this is actually a good thing, because that means part of your chest is now supporting your boob. It's not just these ligaments. It's not just your upper back. So now it's going to be helpful, because you're not going to have all the weight on these ligaments on your upper back, and it's going to kind of spread the weight out. So it makes sense for two reasons why women with larger breasts they sag a little bit lower. First of all, the weight of them is going to make things sag. That's gravity. It's not sag in a gross way. It just means, you know, hang down. So that's one of the reasons, of course. But then another reason that it seems like a really great thing and it really fits with nature is your boob is going to get extra support from your chest area and not just from these ligaments and your upper back. So it's going to spread the weight out, be better for you, give you less back problems, which I think is really interesting then, because we usually strap a bunch of bras on us, especially if you're a bigger chested woman. You strap a bra on us and you end up shifting all of that weight and that support that you have for your boobs to your upper back again. You're lifting your boobs. Now they're no longer allowed to be supported by your chest. They're now just being supported by your shoulders and your upper back. Hence some back problems, which I think is really interesting to note. Of course, it's normal in our society for women to wear bras. I'm not saying you shouldn't. I wear a bra, kind of have to. Sometimes I don't, sometimes I do. I have medium-sized boobs. What am I, like a C? Used to be a B, somehow it turned into a C. Maybe it was birth control. I've just been a C for so long, I don't recall. But so I'm kind of like in the middle there, I guess. And so I can go either way, but I definitely couldn't wear no bra out doing lots of things like running. That would be really hard. That would be kind of painful. So just interesting thing I wanted to say about how bras really do change our natural breast support system. Some other things that are inside your boob besides the lobes and the lobules and the milk sacs for making milk, if and when the time ever comes for you, if you choose to do it. There's also the lymph system. It goes through your boobs too. So that's one thing that why breast health is so important, because it's close to your lymph system. It can really cycle into that, tap into that. And so I think that's one reason why there's a lot of fear surrounding breast cancer, because it can enter into your lymph system and then, you know, go to the rest of your body, which is a really bad thing. You also have different nerves in there. Another fact to say about the milk sacs, which I think is super cool, is they're supported by estrogen. So they don't develop, just like the boobs don't really develop until you go through puberty, the milk sacs don't really develop until you go through puberty, when estrogen kind of cuts them on and makes them grow. But interestingly, they also go away a lot more readily than your boobs do upon menopause, because you've lost your estrogen. And it makes tons of sense why keep this thing in your body, these milk sacs, around when you're no longer capable of having children. You go through menopause, you can't have kids anymore. So it makes sense to send those milk sacs away. They're a waste of space. We don't need them anymore. Your body doesn't support them because there's no estrogen left. So also, you know, women's boobs can get smaller when they go through menopause because there's less estrogen in their body. And there are a lot of, you know, breast and fat is estrogen. But they still have their boobs, though. They don't utterly go away. But they do go away to some degree. Another thing that I want to say about boobs is, because so many people are obsessed with boob size and if boobs look okay, there are so many different kinds of boobs. Women with small boobs can have really big nipples. Women with really big boobs can have smaller nipples. You can have brown nipples, grayish nipples, pink nipples, red nipples, tan nipples. You can have so many colors of nipples, so many sizes of boobs. And here's another thing that I thought was really cool to share, which we all know this in our heart, but we don't necessarily think that it's true, that all of our boobs are differently sized. Come on, you know they are. Your boobs are differently sized. It might be subtle or it might be extreme, but 5 to 10% of women, and a lot of people think like more than that even, have very differently sized boobs, very noticeable. And some of these women choose to wear like an extra pad in one of their cups in their bra so that in public, in the whatever world, people, don't look at them and go, you know, which I think that would actually look kind of neat. I think asymmetrical things, I think, are really beautiful, naturally, but I don't have super asymmetrical boobs. I do actually have asymmetrical boobs, as do you probably. But, so I don't know necessarily what that would feel like, but, and then 25% of women have a differently sized boobs to where one is like actually maybe a whole cup bigger or smaller than the other one. So that's even a bigger amount. And that would be a little bit less noticeable, like a B or a C. If you were a couple cups bigger with one boob, or if one boob was a lot lower hanging on your body, that would be a little more obvious. A cool thing to note is usually when you have a boob that's bigger, it's going to be your left boob, which is totally the case with me. I thought that was really interesting. I noticed that with myself. It's like firmer. It's a little bigger. I like it a little bit better. It's kind of my favorite one. It looks right. It's also the one that is the most sensitive for me, interestingly, a little bit more than my right one. But the reason the left one's going to be bigger is because it's near the heart and near all those arteries and veins. So it gets more blood flow. It gets more of all the stuff. Doesn't that make sense? I think that's so cool. I just thought that was so neat. Now there's a thing called breast, ptosis. So what it is, at a certain point through the course of your life, your boob starts to sag a little bit more, and it's like a natural thing. And your nipple therefore starts to point down. So there's like a thing like, oh, young youthful boobs with this like nipple that sticks straight up in the air. Yeah, that's not really a real thing, but it does, your boob does change its shape, and its size and the way it's shaped over the course of your life. So it starts to sag a little bit, and your nipple starts to point down, which I just want to say that that's normal. You shouldn't be stressed out about that. You shouldn't try to hide it. So I think sometimes in, you know, more modern cultures, when women do wear bras often, that's avoided a little bit longer just because the bra has kind of held your boob up more. And so there's been less gravity over time, kind of pulling all the materials down, loosening up your Cooper's ligament, that kind of thing. But I thought that was totally worth noting. Just so you know, your boob is normal. It's changing. Duh. You're human. You're a woman. It's going to happen. Gravity's going to take over. And then the big thing that I said at the very beginning of this episode, what is this for? What is the boob actually for? The boob is actually for... The reason is there. You can use it for tons of other things, and in my mind, it's for those too. But it's actually for feeding potential babies. If you don't ever have babies, then you don't use your boob for that. But still, it's there for that reason, and use it for all the other good stuff, and don't ever use it for a baby if you don't want to. But that's why it appears during puberty. So its purpose is really the mammary gland, which is where mammals get their name, because mammals have mammary glands. Now its circular shape, which I always also thought was a really cool fact, the circular shape of the boob, has a reason. Like when you think about it, why isn't our boob like long and thin? You know, there's no real reason for that when you think about it. I think we imagine that to be like, oh, that's weird looking. Of course our boob shouldn't be long and thin. It should be the way it is. But why isn't it? It just would seem weird because we're not used to it. But there's actually a reason why the boob is round shaped. Now, it's because it limits the mother or the woman, in this case, losing body heat, in that area, because milk production depends on the woman having a higher body heat. You need more warmth to make milk production work properly. And so that circular, shape holds in more heat, instead of a long and thin thing. And think about it as a surface area thing. So less surface area, more mass inside. The warmth is going to be staying inside a little bit better. You're going to lose less heat. And milk production is going to be taken care of. I thought that was super cool too. So technically, if milk production wasn't reliant on a warmer body heat, we could have the kookiest shaped boobs ever. They could be like shaped like stars or triangles. You know, who knows? Who knows where it would have been if that wasn't something that was important to our body working properly. Now, another thing about boobs that's really interesting, and I mentioned this in, I think, the episode from yesterday, is that nipple stimulation, this can be from a baby or sexually, it causes kind of a, you know, it gets you to get a little turned on. It makes you feel kind of like woohoo in that area. And during labor, as I've said before, nipple stimulation, and you would either do it yourself or you would ask your partner to do it if you could handle him or her at the time and didn't want to punch him, get out of here. you can ask them to do that because it stimulates uterine contractions. So if your labor has stalled a little bit, it's slowed down and you are really wanting it to kind of get back up and running again, that's one really great natural way to do it without having to worry about any interventions or any drugs or anything like that. Another thing about boobs is what they symbolize. That's what all the hype is about boobs. We know what boobs look like, honestly. We know what they're for. We know what they're supposed to do. We know they grow hair on them. All these things. What do they symbolize? Why are people so obsessed with boobs? And one of the thoughts is that they symbolize fertility. I mean, because they kind of honestly do. Now, your boob size just has nothing to do with how fertile or anything you are or how good at making breast milk you will be. You can have the tiniest boobs ever and make tons of breast milk. You can have the hugest boobs ever and make an average amount of breast milk. You know, that's not dependent. Your boobs will grow to the size they need to be to take care of you in the best way and of your baby in the best way. But to some people, they're a symbol of fertility, and it makes sense because they feed the next generation. They do. If you're making the most healthy choice for your baby, barring a couple occasions where breastfeeding might be really not right for you, you're going to be breastfeeding. And so that is a symbol for fertility. If you think about it, you are literally feeding and growing and creating the body through the nutrients you're giving it through your boob, the next generation. Tons of mountains in many cultures around the world have been named after boobs. They don't call it boobs, but literally some mountains are called breasts, the breast mountain or the blank breast mountain. You know, it's pretty straightforward. It's a very obvious symbolic connection between mountains and boobs. And then boobs also, depending on what sort of boob they are, symbolize, if they're a young boob or if they're shaped like a young boob, like a round, perky boob, whatever that really means. It's a sort of a sign of youth. And if they're older, they hang lower, they're getting wrinkly. It's a sign of age, which should not be considered negative. I know most people think that's negative, but it shouldn't be. It should be considered a sign of wisdom. I think it would be really fantastic if in our society we thought that once your boobs hung down to your waist, you were like the most wise woman in the world. And that was the sign of being wise, is getting your boobs to hang down around your waist. I wonder how many women would let their boobs go that far. It would maybe work. It would have to gradually happen over time to where that was acceptable. But I just think that's an interesting thought. Changing our ideas of aging breasts and thinking of them as beautiful and wise and a symbol for, in many cases, the generation that you've nurtured, because many women end up becoming mothers, and not all of them. But so anyway, I just wanted to end on that really fun note about boobs. And make sure that you check out the link on the post today that takes you to the boob gallery. I've also seen a really fantastic documentary. I believe it's called Breasts, a Documentary. I'm going to need to look that up and put that in the resources area so that you can see it, because they interview different women. Most of them are topless when they're talking, and they're talking about their life and their identity with their boobs. I remember one of the clips was a woman who had humongous boobs, and her mother had the tiniest boobs ever. And the daughter, I remember, it was a discussion about her female identity. She was so differently bodied than her mom, and her mom didn't even know how to deal with her huge boobs, and getting her the right bras and exercising with large boobs and all the differences. And then a lot of women talk about what their boobs mean to them. To some of them, it's a symbol of power. To some of them, it's a symbol of weakness almost, which I found surprising. But, women that felt that they were always being looked at because of their boobs was frustrating to them. So, anyway, I wanted to mention all that stuff, and I hope the episode today got you a little bit more in touch with your booby side, which I think is a really great place to be. Spend some time with your boobs during naked time. Spend some time with them. Look at them. Explore them. Get used to them. They're going to be there for a long time. They're fantastic the way they are. They work. They do what they're supposed to do. if you have or have not had a kid or want to or have or don't want to have a kid, they still do exactly what they're supposed to do. So thanks for listening to the show today. As always, I love talking to you guys. Check out the website, owomanpodcast.com. Go to Facebook, O Woman Podcast. Like the page. Go to iTunes. Rate the episodes. All of the above. If you listen to other episodes, you know the spiel, so I don't have to repeat it. Love talking with you, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. Okay, bye.